So, Chrissy, where do you live? Where have you come from?
I live in France, in Normandy, in northern France.
And why do you live there?
We have we're church planting over there, but also we have a centre called Bethany. If you sort of know Caroline, I know that she disappears regularly. That's where she's usually hanging out. That's the home of our mission organisation called BLESS, the BLESS Network. So Caroline runs the UK end of it here, with Nick and Dawn and a few others you might know. And then in France, we have a big old cider farm that is our missional base, and we do lots of training. But Jared and I have also moved into the city of Cong, which is 45 weeks away, and we're church planting there.
So, and,
thanks.
So you have church?
Yes.
Just one?
No. We have three different churches. So kind of one church, but broken up. So we have our newest gathering is in Cong, where we're living, which is the main city. So if you take the ferry from Portsmouth to Wistrand, to the port, that's the port of the city of Cong, which is quite a big, substantial, it's the second city in Normandy. And but then we also have a church that's growing up around our missional centre called Bethany, in a little place called Livero, and we still have some local leaders there, and that's growing fast, and wonderful things are happening. And then we have a campsite that's connected to BLESS, which is 2 hours south in the Loire Valley, an international campsite. And they have a little prayer room that's connected up with the Camino, the pilgrim walk through Europe. And they have little prayer rooms catch up with that, and they are running a house of prayer, and that will sort of grow into a local church there as well. We oversee all of that.
Yeah. It's just kind of naturally, organically grown, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, which is really amazing to see.
10 years ago we moved from Amsterdam, where we were running a church, in the international church there, to France, and over 10 years these churches have been springing up and growing, keeping us busy.
And so what else happens in Cong?
In Cong we work with refugees a lot. So we wanted an international church, and that was on our heart to have an international church. And so we've been praying for that. Having run a church with 40 nationalities in Amsterdam, we have got the taste for the revelation picture of nationalities coming together and international church. And we believe that that's what God was calling us to do ultimately in Cong. But the first thing that God led us to was a little derelict piece of land, which I can talk about a little bit more this afternoon. It's just called the Presqu'île de Cong, which is it's the old docks, basically. And we sensed God saying, I want you to plant a church there. And at the time, it was completely derelict, so that was an interesting thought. So we just started prayer walking and worshipping there. And the first thing that happened is a whole bunch of young trafficked girls from Nigeria operating in white vans in prostitution were moved onto this piece of land, and so we felt, you know, called to just pray over them and ask God what he was showing us. But the next thing that happened is all the refugee camp in Calais got shut down, and they started wandering down to Cong, which we're 4 hours south, and we were surrounded by refugees from all over the world, mainly African countries, but all over. And so we started feeding them three years ago. And we brought ourselves shy, and twice a week we turn up with an old ambulance that Jared converted into a kitchen, and we feed the refugees and we provide them with practical things that they need. And we just still pray for the girls. We can't get too involved at the moment. We don't have the team that we need to do that. But this little piece of land is just flooded with people looking for hope and looking for belonging and looking for love. And so we just felt like God saying, learn how to love them first, and I'll teach you how to build church. And we've been doing it for 3 years, and we've just started our local church in Cong. So it's been a long journey, but we are now, we now have a building, and we just, as of 2 months ago, and we've started gathering, and I'm racing back on the night boat tonight because we're meeting there tomorrow. So we're really excited to finally see church happening. But a big part of our journey is these refugees, and they're a big part of our lives now.
So how many people are in your church?
Across the board, or?
Well, you know, the people kind of come to the Cong church.
Yeah, so in Cong, probably we end up gathering at about 15, 20 yeah. max.
And these are the people who are kind of gathering to feed. How many refugees?
80.
80 refugees, twice, sometimes three times.
Yeah. And a good part of people helping us haven't come from church and have no idea what church it even is. Mm. But they just get drawn into this, and which is wonderful. And go on their own journey of discovering who Jesus is through it. So But we're a small church and we work really hard. But it's what it takes, especially in France. But it's exciting to see. Funny enough, I was thinking as we were driving up, I'm thinking how tired I am, and then thinking I'm talking about rest. Probably these words are going to show right back at me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is pretty full on, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it is.
But I try and count that out regularly. Fresh energy.
And it's a real honour and a privilege to kind of meet these guys who walked from Africa, basically, and are just looking for home. They're looking for safety for their families and their homes. And this tiny church in Caen is trying to do the best they can, but they need resources. So I'm going to put a jug out, because we're like a group of great women who were one of us. So I'm going to put a jug out, and if we can throw a few pennies in to maybe buy the blankets or I don't know, food even, just the dailies kind of thing.
Yeah, it costs us hundreds regularly every week.
And they're always begging for shampoo and shower gel. And it's kind of comedy. They quite often give me the job when I go out. Caroline, you give out the things, because you get kind of swamped by these boys who are like, shampoo, I need shampoo, I need shampoo. And you're just like, hang on a minute, hang on a minute, kind of thing. It's comedy. But they are the sweetest, safest I've ever felt around a big group of guys. They are all boys. They're the healthy ones and the fit ones and the ones who've got a bit of language, a bit of cleverness, and they get sent by their families to go and make home, to go and do it and make happen. And they are the kindest, gentlest. I've never felt one safer.
Which is always amazing, because they've actually survived war, a lot of them, and they survived being trafficked into slavery in Syria.
Brutal.
And they've been beaten, they've been abused often, they've gone through a lot of stuff. And yet they are very, very sweet, which is incredible, isn't it?
I once took I went through the coat rack. You know how they just get piled on when you've got family, like so many coats. Mm. I went through it and took loads of coats, gave coats to the boys. They all put them on, and I just saw my family walking around. It was really weird. But I just think, you know, they are family. You know, they're human beings, aren't they? They're just like us. They just want to make home. They just want to be safe and be warm and be healthy, and they want to add to the society they're being welcomed into. So yeah, they're amazing guys. So we're going to put a jug out, and it will say SOS Chai on it, so if you can throw some pennies in. So I'm just going to pray for you before we actually start. Lord Jesus, I just lift Chrissy up to you. I just pray that today you will bless her more than she blesses us, Lord. A big ask, because I know she's going to bless us to our boots, Lord Jesus. We thank you that she's made the journey up to see us, and we just pray that as she gives out today, you will just fill her and let her know that she is your precious daughter, and everything she says you think is amazing. And just pray that our ears will be open and we'll hear what you want to say, and it will fall in our hearts and stay there. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Well, it's great to be with you. Really, really fun. I've heard so much about this group, and little bits of information from Caroline, from all people. So it's exciting to finally visit and meet some of you throughout the day. I thought it sounded quite funny, your spiritual spa idea. I was thinking, it's a tree, when I heard that was broken out, and then when they said it's a massive great blow up. I thought, I don't have to get down on one of those and get up again anymore. I definitely could when I was younger. It's a high one, okay. But it sounds like you have a wonderful day and you really enjoy being together, and it's full of wonderful resources. And I was just asking, well, what can I bring? What can I bring that's going to speak into your journey? Obviously, we all live different lives and we all have different seasons in our life, and some of those seasons are easy and some of those seasons are more challenging. Sometimes when God gives me something and I just think, I don't know if I want to talk to people about challenge again, but it's just like, I'll just, you know, talk about the nice stuff. But so this isn't not nice, this is wonderful stuff. I'm not being up very well here, am I? This is good stuff, but I want to talk about rest, and I want to talk about rest in a way that's talking about not the kind of rest that we just get from, you know, watching a movie together, or, you know, having a lovely evening out, or just lying on the sofa reading a book. Those are all really important too, so I'm not knocking that kind of rest. That rest is good. But I want to talk about the rest that comes from deep within, the rest that Jesus promises us and offers us. That peace, the inner peace. And it's lovely because actually as I arrived and looked around the room, I saw this verse, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, about how peace is found through trust in God. And so that's already on the wall, which is wonderful. And I think there's other stuff around the room about rest. So I just thought, oh, how fantastic. It's already all up here. But peace. Did you do that specially, or were they just always here?
This chamber.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. Great. They're really wonderful. And it, so you're surrounded by biblical truth. And I guess, you know, I've often sought rest in just the very practical, day-by-day places. So I've sought rest in, you know, just taking time out, going on holiday, being by the sea. And all of those things, as I said, are good and they help. But deep down, we are spiritual people. We're made to be in a relationship with God. And our spirit, our very soul, every part of us cries out for a deeper peace. And when we find that peace, when we get little pieces of it, when God blesses us with it, there's a rest that comes to our whole body, spiritually and physically, I think. I think Tom would agree with me with that one as well. That is really, really good for us. And that's what we all crave, and that's what the world craves, even if they don't know it sometimes, I think. So I want to talk a little bit about that. So I've called it just a song of freedom and peace, the promise of peace, real rest. And I'm going to start with this scripture. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and from Matthew 11, I think you probably, some of you might know that one already, it's quite a familiar one. But I'm going to read it, it's going to come up on the wall here from the Passion Translation, and I'm just going to speak this out over us, and then we're just going to dive into this for a couple of moments. So Jesus exclaimed, "Father, thank you, for you are Lord, the supreme ruler over heaven and earth. And you have hidden the great revelation of your authority from those who are proud and wise in their own eyes. Instead, you've shared it with those who are humble themselves. Yes, Father, your plan delights your heart as you've chosen this way to extend your kingdom by giving it to those who have become like trusting children. You have entrusted me with all that you are and all that you have. And no one fully and intimately knows the Son except the Father. And no one fully and intimately knows the Father except the Son. But the Son is able to unveil the Father to anyone he chooses. Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am an oasis. Simply join your life with mine and learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear." Beautiful words and a beautiful passage. We wrote a little book on this a while ago, Jared and I, quite a few years back, called Intimate the Ultimate. I'm afraid I haven't got any with me today. But it's all about that passage, just really exploring that passage, because there's something in that passage, there's something in that relationship between Jesus and the Father that is just draws you in. You know, there's this intimacy, there's this understanding, there's this uniqueness about their relationship. And basically what the scripture is telling us is we get invited into that. We get invited into this incredible, perfect friendship, perfect relationship between the Father and Son, who created us and dreamed of us. And as we get closer to it, as we become more connected to it, we become more whole. And we get to discover who we really are. And that ultimately brings incredible peace and brings freedom from all the weight of just carrying our lives and dealing with all the pressures and stuff that lands in us. So I just want to explore what does that look like a little bit. What does it require of us, and how can we access that peace that passes all understanding? And otherwise our life tends to just break down when we get under pressure, doesn't it? First thing that happens sometimes is our health goes, or our peace goes, and we feel stressed, or there's all sorts of things that happen. So I want to just try and unpack a little bit this relationship that we're invited into, because I think this is what will do us the most good right across the Lord. So I've written this little thing on rest, okay, it's R-E-S-T. I've just prepared this little thought on rest. So the first one is release. So it's about letting go. Release is just literally breathing out. You know, we release, when we breathe out, we release all the oxygen that's in our body. And release is this idea that we are born, we are created to be people that let go, not carry in a heavy way. And that scripture talks about being unburdened from carrying heavy pressures. Philippians 4 says, don't be anxious about anything, but with everything, bring your prayers and your supplications to God. He wants to carry everything. He wants us to bring everything to Him. And prayers are powerful conversations with God when we let go and we release to Him all that's heavy in us. Praise can also be powerful as we just remind ourselves of who He is and how big He is and how wonderfully able God is to carry everything. But release is enormously important in our lives. And one of the most powerful prayers we can ever pray for another human being, and often the ones we love the most and the hardest to release, is that prayer of release. To say, God, I'm going to trust you with them, and I'm going to step back and let you do what you need to do. Because sometimes the very fact that we want to be those people that carry things for others and fix them, or we look to another to carry that stuff in us and want them to fix us, that isn't necessarily healthy. We can, you know, we create these intense relationships that just exhaust and wear down on both sides. The most powerful thing we can do is just to say, God, you created him, or you created her, you love her, you made her. I just release her to you, and I'm going to pray for her, and I'm going to stand alongside her, but also doing that in your own life. I release myself to you. Everything about me you know already. You're so much bigger than all the circumstances I face. Those powerful prayers of release are so, so powerful. There's something about a prayer of release that is more powerful, I think, than I can even explain to you. But I've been in very complicated situations sometimes when I just don't know what to do with somebody maybe that I'm praying for that's very, very broken or very hurt, or just somebody that I love dearly and I don't know how to release them. And I've just heard this so powerfully in the heart of God. Just release, just release, just release. And I even do this little thing when I'm teaching at Bethany sometimes, as I say to people, go out into the field and find a pebble, and then name that pebble as the person or the thing that you're carrying the heaviest in your heart, the thing that you're worrying about when you go to bed at night, you know, the thing that's stopping you sleeping or just making you feel exhausted. And then just name that pebble as that situation or that person and fling it over the, we have a wire fence with the cows the other side, so I say, please don't aim at the cows, but just take that pebble and just aim it over the fence and release it and watch it go, and then let go in your heart. And you know, you sort of visibly see people change sometimes, just that thing of letting go. We find it really hard as people. We want to control, we want to bring change, but we're not the people to do it. But God will use us more powerfully as we learn to release. So release is hugely significant and very important. I spoke to a friend of mine who's very well trained in counselling, and she always says the thing that she teaches that is the hardest sometimes in a marriage relationship is to teach them to just release each other. Just let go and let God, because He is the one that can do it all. We are not. We're not perfect, and we're not Him. But it's sometimes very hard to do that, so I'm not saying it's an easy thing, but I'm going to challenge you today. Who do you need to release? What are you carrying? What situations are just too overwhelming for you right now? I just want to challenge you to think about it and release that person. And maybe you need to go and find a pebble at some point today. I often stand on the beach for ages. I remember once, my first time I did it, I picked up one pebble, and it was a little pebble, and I just thought, that'll do. And I just flung into the sea, and I felt, and then God showed me another thing or another person, and I was picking up another pebble, and it was getting bigger and bigger. I was just there for ages. But it felt so good because I was just releasing into the ocean. I was throwing them into the sea and envisaging that as the grace and the goodness of God and just releasing everything to Him. It's a really powerful thing to do. So release what you need to release in order to find real rest. Secondly, examine. Open up. So the E is rest is examine. Open up. Let God in. Let truth and revelation in. Take time to reflect and be honest with yourself. With God. Take a look inside your thoughts and your heart, and don't be afraid, because God is not a judgmental God, He's a God of love, and He wants to come and bring peace to your innermost being. Psalm 51, David's prayer, which is confession, is full of that. I was just reading it through it. You could read any of it, but So I'm going to read verse 16. For the source of your pleasure is not my performance or the sacrifices I might offer to you. The fountain of your pleasure is found in the sacrifice of my shattered heart before you. And you will not despise my tenderness as I humbly bow before your feet. Trust in God and allowing him to show us what we need to see. Spending time not being afraid of the things that might surface, but knowing that God is bigger than all of them. So yeah, it's not always easy, examining our hearts, examining our motives, examining our relationships. Not always easy, but very healthy. Just like we would see a doctor, there's often an examination involved because we can't get to the root of the problem sometimes without actually looking for it. So as you look into this whole area of examination, you know, are there people that I need to forgive? Are there people that I need to just release? Are there other things that God is asking me to confess before him in order to know real peace? What lies behind my weariness? What lies behind my stress? Sometimes just literally saying sorry or just praying through something instantly just releases that weariness. You know, it really does. It's so powerful. Believe the truth that your emotions will be healed and come into alignment with the truth of what you're created for. Your emotions come from what you believe. And shouldn't be the other way around. So we talk all the time as human beings, like, I feel tired, or I feel frustrated, I feel angry, and therefore I am this. And you know what? The Bible tells us that it's the other way around. The Bible tells us that that we will find peace when we really choose to believe in the goodness of God and in his all that he's done for us. That's when we find peace, and our emotions follow behind our faith structure in our life. So it's really important to ask ourselves what we need, and then allow your emotions to be healed in the light of all that you believe. So thirdly, soak, drink in, good bath, a good soak. We all love a good soak, don't we, as girls? I love a good bath, and I love that idea that as I'm just in the bath, I'm just relaxing, I'm resting, everything in me is resting, and that's also a spiritual principle here of just drinking in, just absorbing, just letting him increase. You know, as you put a sponge into water, it increases. As you rest in God, as you soak up his presence, you increase just by receiving him and all that's in him, because he's so much greater. Create space to be refreshed and cleansed. Do nothing but receive sometimes. That's what God sometimes asks us to do. For me, that's worship. I just love being in worship. And worship is where I just sense myself just being, you know, open before God, saying, I just need your presence. I need your presence. Interesting enough, we're launching our church in Cot, I mentioned, on Sunday nights, tomorrow night, with a thing that we're going to call Presence. We're going to do that twice a month. It's just that. It's just come along, join with us. We're just going to enjoy the presence of God. And we're going to invite everybody into that, whether they have faith or not. We're just going to say, come experience the presence of God. Because the presence of God is such a wonderful thing. And it's, you know, we don't have to know, have it all figured out in our head sometimes. We just need to have an open heart to receive and be like that sponge and just receive. Know he's there. Know that he uses us to refill you, to refuel, to restore. Spend time in his presence. For me, as I said, that's worship. You might have other things you like to do, like go on a long walk or, you know, to be in his presence. Just sit and read the Psalms. Whatever helps you absorb the presence of God. It's just time to know that he's big enough and his grace covers all our inadequacies. His love will redeem and heal your pain. And so often, so much goes on in that soaking process that we don't even know about. And maybe we'll never know or understand. But why do I walk out the door sometimes feeling like I'm more healed and more whole and more confident when I've been in a time of worship? Because I'm soaking up the presence of God and I'm increasing in him. So take time to soak him up and be with him. We very quickly in our lives become attached to the culture around us, and that drains us very often, and the demands of it become exhausting in our lives. So we just need to pull away. We need to know that we are created to be in relationship with a loving God, and that's what that process is all about. And lastly, the T is trust. Take hold. Take a hold of the truth. Be confident in his ability and his goodness. Peace comes through believing, Romans 15:13, on the wall over here, tells us that we receive joy and peace through believing. Now may the God of hope fill us with all peace and joy as we trust in him. But I'm reading, I'm going to read the Passion translation for you here. It says, now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflow with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his divine superabundance until you radiate with hope. I love that. Beautiful translation of that verse. But it tells you again that you will find peace when you trust in him. Peace is found through trusting in your Creator and Maker. You can't replace that peace that's on offer through trusting in anybody else or anything. But as we find it in Christ and our Creator and Maker and choose to believe him, the promise is peace, the promise is joy, the promise is hope. And once again, you know, it's that thing that we follow our emotions so much, but our emotions will come in line with what we believe. So if we believe that our Creator loves us and he intended us, that we are his purpose and his creation and the ones he adores, then what we feel will come in line with that. It really will. It will follow behind. We need to be people and women who raise up and say, I believe this and I want everything about me to come in line with that truth so that I can be a blessing and full of his presence for others. So sometimes God calls us just to speak it out, to have courage and to have faith. And to, I have been in seasons in my life when I have not felt that. I've even struggled to trust what these circumstances are all about and where they're going to lead. But as I've chosen to rise up and have faith and say, I will trust that you are a good God and that you will bring good things out of this. As I've taken those steps of faith, it's amazing how the peace follows. The promise is real and the promise is true. And I'm healing, for my emotions are often frayed and exhausted because of the stuff I'm walking through, just naturally follows because I've had the faith to trust and stand up. So trust is really important. Belief is really important. We need to choose to be people that believe. Believe in the goodness. Believe that God's enough. Believe that he loves you without condition. Believe that his love and all that Jesus did covers everything for you and will forever. Those things are so important to us. And we need to know what we believe and spend time speaking it out. There have been times in my life when I've really felt like I've been, you know, continually in that place of choice. So I let my life just get drawn down and bogged down and exhausted by all that's coming at me. Or do I choose to step into that different place of trusting that my Father has purposes for this and that this is going to be a positive, redeeming experience, even though right now I could turn and run in the opposite direction. And you might even be there right now. You might be going through some really tough stuff and you think, I don't want to even believe that God is going to redeem this. And that's very real. It's very, very real. But we just have that choice continually, you know, and the door is always open. And Jesus doesn't condemn us when every now and then we run away for a while. I know that because he's a loving God. But he keeps calling you back. He keeps calling you back. He keeps saying, come on, if you come this way, you're going to find that peace. You're going to find that release. You're going to see restoration and you're going to see transformation visibly in your circumstances. If that's what's on offer, you get invited into what happened when the grave was conquered, and Jesus rose again and offered resurrection life for the whole of the planet and for all that he created. You get invited into that process regularly to believe in resurrection life when you face the death of tough circumstances and people letting you down and people pushing you beyond even your understanding. You get invited to go and believe in the open grave and see resurrection life breaking in your story. And that's amazing. That is amazing. And it's very real. I've cried sometimes so hard in my life over tough stuff that I thought I can't cry harder than this. So I'm not talking about this from easy places. I'm talking about the challenge that God is enough. And that we may have seasons where we go through some really tough stuff, but you know what? God is on the other side of it, waiting to celebrate with us as well for all the victory of what he's going to bring through. So just to sum this up, I just wrote this heading, learning to unlock your weariness. Understand what you're going through. Understand the process right now of where you're carrying things, and maybe where you're a little bit tired, or where you're struggling with stress or struggling with tough stuff, and bring that into that framework of rest. Bring it to God. Allow him to work that process through in you. And the more you do that, the easier it will get. Even if the stuff gets harder, you will learn that God is faithful, and he will be your first point to turn to. I was a survivor in my life. I grew up as a young teenager, and then I got married at 18, and Jared was 19, and went straight into having kids. By the time I was 21, I had my first child. I was young. We did it younger in those days. I did too. And I carried a lot with me, partly because my mum had a tough story. My mum was an abandoned baby, and we went through a lot of stuff in our family. There was a lot going on. And I learned how to be a really good survivor. And that's great, because that's given me muscles of faith that are really helpful now. But you know, the thing that God had to unpack in all of that, and this might speak to you a little bit, is that we can be good survivors, and surviving is great. But, but in that, I wasn't always very kind to myself. You know, I think survivors, we're not very kind to ourselves sometimes. We don't know how to actually think about us and how well we're doing, and let God show us how he needs to deal with that. And because I always feared being judged, I got pretty good at judging as well. You see, that's what happens. We get drawn into all sorts of things that aren't that helpful in this journey of breaking free and knowing his goodness. And so, you know, I've had my own journey with specific things, and you will have journeys that might be similar but might be different. But I started to listen to the voices, the broken voices in me far too much, and not from the voice of God and the Bible, the biblical truth, and what others were even seeing in me that were good things. And so I had to learn to unpack that stuff. And so this framework is really to help you unpack some of that and come into a healthy place. So I've just written out these three, the next three headings, such as, how can I break? So how can I break up this chain of events of just, you know, sometimes when we kind of spiral downwards because we're discouraged, or we're not kind to ourselves, or things are just building up. How do we break that up? How do I trust that it's the voice of God that I'm hearing? And then just, that's just a statement that I'll come to. So firstly, how can I break up this chain of events? By going back to that framework that I just said, and just allowing God into your story, and inviting him purposefully into the places where we need him to come this morning. So I'm going to ask you, you know, if there are things in your life that are just causing you to be weary, and you know that they've been there a long, long time, you know, can this be a new process for you, or can this be just maybe something you've done before, but you're just going back, and you're going to trust God and invite him in to come and bring you that real rest, you know, to release to him, to examine your own heart, to soak in his presence, and to trust him again. Can you do that today? Can you set up new cycles in your life that are healing and full of wholeness to press into his goodness? And secondly, how do I trust it's his voice? Well, his voice is full of goodness. His voice is full of kindness. You know, his voice is full of, his voice is saying to you, it's full of invitation. For the Father's heart is full of invitation. And he's saying to you, you can do this in me. You know, you can overcome. This will not swallow you up, because the grave did not win. Resurrection won over the grave. And his voice will come in line with everything you know about who God is and what scripture tells you. And learn to trust it, and learn to recognize it, and learn to live in relationship with his voice. And every time you do that, freedom and peace will go hand in hand. So every time you grasp hold of freedom and decide to let him in, you will discover more peace. There's this beautiful relationship there for us. The substance of freedom is peace. So when we are walking through challenging situations and we know that we're being called into a deeper freedom as children of God, or we're just for the first time even tasting some of the freedom of knowing God as our Father, the promise is peace. The promise is peace. And you will find deeper peace. And I struggled a lot as a young student with depression, and I thought it would never go. But I've got to say, God has been so faithful and so good, and in God. And I've, you know, not had any problems for a long, long time, and I've seen how God has healed me through that. But it's been through relationship. It's through living in relationship with Him, living close to Him. You were born, I'm going to finish with just saying, you were born to live in relationship with your Father. And yet because of the brokenness in this world and all that has happened, you know, there's an orphan spirit inside of us that kicks in and tells us all this rubbish about who we are or who we're not. And I just want to give you an invitation this morning just to embrace once again that relationship with Jesus, or embrace Him for the first time as your friend, as your Father, as the one who loves you beyond everything else. I want to invite you to reject that isolation, that loneliness that sometimes we feel, and recognize that there's one that made you and dreamed of you, and He wants to live in relationship with you day by day. He wants to teach you what His voice is like and help you recognize the whisper in your ear. He wants you to know that you're His precious daughter this morning. Revelation 21 says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, with women. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God." You know, God comes to you this morning as your Father, as your Creator, and says to you, "You are my beloved daughter, and I want to live in a relationship with you. I want you to know me, and I want you to know that there's freedom and there's peace in this relationship." So if you've never known Him before, I'm just going to pray in a moment and just invite you to invite Him to come and be that special friend and walk you into more freedom and more peace. But maybe you're already living with Him, in relationship with Him, but you just want to refresh that commitment to Him. Maybe you want to believe Him for more restoration. Maybe you want to, you know, embrace a new journey of courage to allow Him into those deeper places, to find that real rest, and to invite Him to come and bring His healing. I want to encourage you this morning, wherever you're at, in whatever place, to live life in relationship with the one who knows you best and who loves you completely. He holds the key to deep, lasting inner peace. He won't disappoint, and He won't fail you. He won't disappoint you, and He won't fail you. I can say that absolutely confidently. And I want to pray for you to know that incredible peace and release in your heart this morning. Maybe you even want to, as I've prayed this now, you might even be wanting to, you might have just had a really tough week and been bruised by a relationship, a friendship. That happens sometimes, isn't it? Because what we do is we kind of bounce around on this world, one open spirit to another, bouncing up against each other and hurting each other. But I just really sense that God wants to bless us with His healing presence this morning. Maybe just invite you to close your eyes. And I just want to ask you to spend a moment just thinking about what have you heard this morning that's really landed in your heart and in your mind as the key thing for you. Father, I want to thank you that you are a Father that will never give up on anyone that you have made. And you have made us all. You have made this entire world. You are the creator of everything we see. Everything good comes from you, Jesus. And we thank you this morning that you love us completely, that your heart is always towards us. Our Father, we just want to pray that you would just break in this morning and just break through any rejection in us, any anxiety in us, we may not understand it all or have it all together, but Lord, every heart that's turned towards you, you come running towards an embrace, and I thank you for that, Jesus, this morning. I want to encourage you, if you just want to receive him as your friend for the first time, we've all got our eyes closed, but if you just want to receive him as your friend for the first time, maybe just put your hands out in front of you, or even a hand, or even a finger, just to say, Lord, God, the one who made me, I want to know you, I want to know you, I want to know you. Come and show yourself to me and bring me peace. Because he will come running towards you. And Father, I just pray, would you come and just throw your arms around your children, your daughters. Throw your arms around those who come to you for the first time. Throw your arms around us, Lord, who maybe been walking with you a long time, but need to know your loving embrace again. And need to find rest and peace in the midst of our busy lives and our complicated circumstances. Break in, Spirit of God, and bring more healing, more freedom, more life, more goodness. Come and set us free, Jesus, that we can live in that abundant life that you promised us. Be daughters who really know who they are and are able to love the world around them out of a sense of security and rootedness and wholeness. So I pray that over you too, and I ask God to bless you with an increase in your heart of faith and trust. To know his presence and be people that just soak up, to be willing to just soak up his presence and know how to be with him and live in relationship. You were born for a relationship, you are not born to live life on your own. And I pray that each one of you would know that you are not alone, that you are the presence of God is here. And the Father who created you and made you loves you. So draw close, I pray, Spirit of God, draw close. And if we're just going to sing a song together, we're going to sing I Am a There's no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. This has been my journey because of just, this song is my journey. Everything in it is my testimony, if you like. Just to do with a loss of identity in the early years for me, just I think with our whole family story, it was huge to be able to sing out, I am a child of God. No longer a slave to fear, I'm a child of God. If that speaks to you, if that will even just mention it, know that this is a declaration that God wants you to focus on and bring into your life in a new and fresh way this morning. I work a lot with refugees. I spend a lot of time with people who are looking for identity, looking to know and understand who they are. And it's such a huge thing in us. It's such a huge thing on this planet right now for us to know who we are and be strong and secure in that. So I just believe as we sing this out this morning that God's heart is longing to bring more peace, more confidence, more security in these areas, especially to us as women. So he will do that work. All he asks of you is just to speak it out, to sing it out, to say, yes, I'm willing. Yes, I want more, God. Then he comes running. He comes running every time. He comes running to bless you. So you make your choices in your heart. Use the song to declare his faithfulness and be confident that God will bless you and he'll come running towards you. And I'm here all day, happy to pray with people as well, if you want to pray with me. Okay, God bless you.
My enemies, to the Lord my God.
longer slaves to fear. It's such an awesome phrase, isn't it? No slave to fear. We're no longer slaves to fear, which is really, really great. We're daughters of the King. Got a little sentence here. We like to finish the day later with a sentence that we maybe will take part in, and it says, "I know I'm not living in fear when." And you need to finish it. And there'll be, if you throw them down on the table here, then I'll write them up, and we'll all speak this out as our fresh, new, yeah. I don't know what to call it. Epiphany. What a day. Getting serious now, aren't we? Also, on our badges, the people who will and the people who are up for it will pray for people. So if you've got a thing, you know, and you just want to, you want some prayer, do don't be shy. Just go up to anybody that says, "Can I pray for you?" on their badge, and they will. And if you can't find it, come and ask me, and I'll. And Lucy's got it too.
It doesn't say it on our badges, though.
Oh, I've got a sticker on the back of mine. Oh. Lucy will pray for you too, just so you know. And I think it's time for workshops. So grab some coffee and yeah, enjoy your day.